This is the Goalkeeper Roundtable, hosted by Dr. Bill Steffen, with Jeff Shook, George Costellas, and Dave LaTourette. Welcome back to the Goalkeeper Roundtable. In today's episode, we ask David Winter to pull up a chair. David is the director of Academy Goalkeeping for the most recently crowned MLS champions, the Columbus Crew. David brings a terrific background of playing, coaching, and development as he talks about how they use their pathway from youth all the way up to the professional level in Columbus. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the episode with Dr. Bill, GK, Shooky, Lotto, and the Winner.
All right. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. We are back with another session with David Winter, a good friend from Ohio. David's now the director of goalkeeping for the Columbus Crew, past MLS goalkeeper, and Ohio Premier. I want to make sure I get the club right. Did I get that right, David?
Yes.
Good. Okay. I can rest easy. We don't have to go back and edit. just been a real good person to chat with about goalkeeping. And so welcome, David. Here we are.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Good. Good. We were talking a little bit beforehand, and I think one of the things that I'd like, and I think people would like to hear is, you know, what exactly is your role with the Crew? How much involvement do you have with them? Obviously, you're hands-on with all the goalkeeping, but what are your roles and responsibilities?
Well, the great thing is I really get to focus on the goalkeeping. So we have our academy, which is U14 through U19. We're also going to be starting pre-academy. So we'll have like U9, U10, U11, U12. I'm currently working on a goalkeeping curriculum and methodology that coincides with what we do with, you know, the academy as far as, you know, their principles. It's been coming up with, as Kelvin Jones, our academy director now, putting them into buckets. Personally, it's been a good thing to formally put down a lot of these ideas and just my personal beliefs. Pat Onstead, our technical director, I've spent, a lot of time with him, on Zoom, obviously with COVID and, all these great restrictions now. It's been great to get his feedback and, some of his ideas, but, the great thing about it is whether it was Kelvin, whether it's Pat, it was you make this your own, this is your baby. And, it's like, even before the call started, it's been interesting just to kind of formalize and, put down, some of my beliefs. And again, when we talk about these modern trends, I find it very interesting because, for me personally, they're really not modern. These are things that, I kind of grew up with, minus the case, Dave and George. That's a whole other ball of wax, but a lot of these things, traditionally, in my humble opinion, they were, started in South and Central America. The case in South America, they call it the Cristo, because you, that block position, foot saves, growing up in Fort Lauderdale.
Was it Patty O'Toole? Was that the old English keeper who used to make a ton of those? Pat O'Toole, was that his name?
Pat Bonner.
Pat Bonner maybe was.
Yeah. And that's what I was leading with, is that, growing up in Fort Lauderdale, watching the Strikers as a kid, Jan van Beveren, he would make foot saves all the time, So again, I was a very visual learner and, would go on the side of the house and kick the ball against the wall and, save with my feet and try to emulate, what I saw him do. I think a lot of these things, even though they're categorized as a modern trend, I think that, you know, sometimes a save and how I present it to the goalkeepers, a save is a save is a save, you know, whether you save it with your face or, you know, sometimes it's unorthodox. It's not about style points, you know, so it's, yeah, it's interesting. But, you know, again, with, you know, social media and what the kids see in YouTube, you know, you're kind of up against that. And it's like, look, if you can secure the ball and save it first and be courageous and brave, that's the utmost of importance.
Oh, good. Lotto, what do you got for me?
First off, David, it's really great to have you. I appreciate you taking the time. And I know we moved some times around and then you had the cancellation and got yourself here. So we appreciate having you on first off. But my question, you talk about developing your curriculum for you call it your pre-academy. And this leads in, just wasn't an original question of mine, but it came to me thinking about it because I did an education session, a goalkeeping education session for our coaches at a local club here last Saturday. And a couple of things. One, ironically, was, and the coaches that were there all saw it, is that the coaches that attended were the ones that are in constant communication with me already in terms of their goalkeepers and questions and things like that. And the ones that weren't there really are the ones that should have been there. So from an education standpoint, it's really interesting to see who values goalkeepers and goalkeeper education. But within that, one of our coaches who has a female goalkeeping, her daughter is in the program, but she also coaches some younger goalkeepers, you know, or I should say younger teams, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old. And she said, you know, and this was more geared towards the older players. And I say older 11v11 type players. And she said, well, you know, what are some things that are more relative for the young goalkeepers that I can just work on myself? So if there is three things that a 8, 9, or 10 year old, that it's not a, let's say someone who's already decided their goalkeeper, maybe they're had goalkeeper training, or some younger goalkeeper should really focus on.
Lotto, you broke up a little bit towards the end there, but I think you were saying three things for the young goalkeepers to focus on.
Three things for a younger, and I say younger, just like get developmental, you know, 8, 9, 10 year old.
Not yet full-time goalkeepers.
Yeah, that's very interesting because again, now with, you know, us taking on like the pre-academy ages, and we just finished our last night, this past Wednesday. So I had a conversation with a friend of mine, like, and maybe my viewpoint is a little different, but, you know, again, with how, you know, the goalkeeper now is almost like a field player that wears gloves. What I look for, is just, you know, maybe a better, you know, athlete or a field player that has an interest in playing in the goal. You know, again, we didn't run any goalkeeping sessions for the kids. And, actually here in the area, Mike Lentz, who's the director at what used to be Classics Eagles, now it's the Barcelona Academy. It was funny, he called me even before this, you know, the pre-academy tryouts, and he was like, look, my son really, he's a great field player, but he really, really wants to be a goalkeeper. And, you know, I think Mike was even trying to like persuade him against it. It's interesting, like even one of my twin daughters, who again I wouldn't say has the mentality, or, you know, her name is Grace, and she, you know, really doesn't like to get dirty, and but she, you know, is the first one to volunteer, which drives my wife crazy. You know, and again, like I'll, you know, get text messages because again I don't have the luxury of, you know, watching them play very often, but, you know, she'll say, you know, Grace made this incredible save, and, you know, even just like, you know, playing the ball out with her feet. You know, so again, I think, you know, again, you know, with that, you know, young of a goalkeeper, I don't personally want to pigeonhole them in the goal, because I think it's also very important that they learn how to play the position and be a soccer player first. You know, so again, that's kind of what I was even looking at, you know, with our pre-academy tryouts. And again, if there's, you know, kids that, you know, and again, begrudgingly from the coaches, like, well, he's a great field player, we're not going to have him playing goal. You know, so that's kind of my job, is to like nudge them. And, you know, even if it's periodically, you know, training, but I'd say specifically, and you know, what I think you're asking, Dave, is, you know, again, I just, personally, I try to keep everything very simple. You know, so again, I think it's just, you know, first and foremost, just the basics. I even periodically with, you know, our academy goalkeepers, if, you know, they're kind of falling back into bad habits or, you know, again, we'll just have a, you know, going back to basic session and, you know, focusing on the hands and, you know, obviously, you know, really sad to hear the news of Tony Waiters this past week, but, you know, Tony, like, you know, and it's funny, like he has the 10 principles, but really it was 11, but like the first one. And I agree 100% wholeheartedly is everything stems from your hands, you know? And I think it's something that is almost like a lost art form. When Matt Reese was here as the first team goalkeeper coach, I played with Matt in LA and we would joke about it all the time. Like even at the highest level, I mean, goalkeepers, you know, it's almost like watching, you know, a futsal goalkeeper, you know, where they're just, you know, blocking everything and parrying everything away. And so from day one, what I've tried to implement with, you know, our academy goalkeepers and, you know, it's just, you know, everything stems from your hands. You know, so even when we talk about these modern trends, it's a byproduct of trying to do the right thing in the first place. You know, I will never, and they laugh because they know pretty much where I stand on a lot of these things. And I think you said it earlier, George, it's, you know, there's a time and a place. I mean, it's 100%. And, you know, even though they know I'm not a huge fan of a lot of these modern trends, because in my humble opinion, it just creates bad habits. You know, you see even at the highest level, like whether it's Courtois or, you know, David De Gea, I mean, they go into these block positions, you know, way too early, you know, and at the highest level, like even Courtois at 6'6" at the near post, he goes into that K block and the, you know, the attacker's like, thank you very much. And they'll just flick it right over his shoulder. You know, a lot of times he'll do what I call with the goalkeepers when we, you know, whether it's working on entry passes or, you know, 1v1s or breakaways, it's like, again, just be brave and courageous. Can you go with your hands? So I won't spend, and they laugh because they know I'm not going to spend like 45 minutes, like what you see on YouTube where, you know, goalkeeper coaches, like, you know, I'm going to have you on your knees and I'm going to serve a ball to your right and left and you're going to stick out your foot. You know, and look, it's even with, you know, JT Harms, who is now at Duke as a freshman. I was fortunate to work with him last year. And a lot of times, you know, before COVID, like, you know, again, like he would train with the first team. And, you know, there was even a stint, you know, last year for a month where I was actually with the first team as well. So I got to work with Aloy and John Kempin and again, JT a lot of times. And I said, look, JT, you know, because he was very much about, you know, a lot of these blocking and, you know, flying, you know, foot saves. And, you know, so it was, I would say that I had like kind of the internal wrestling match with him that it was like, look, you know, again, there's a time and a place. It's situational. And again, depending on the distance. And so again, I even saw a lot of improvement from him, you know, where again, it was like, look, if you can catch it, if you can win it with your hands, if you can be brave, you know, so with Aloy, you know, again, the thing that impresses me most about him is he's just a pro. You know, and again, as great as Zach Steffen, you know, has done and where he's gotten. And again, I would say that there's some tendencies, like even with Zach, that's maybe a little, you know, unorthodox. It was almost like, you know, Tim Howard. I mean, Tim Howard was just such a great athlete and so strong. You know, again, traditionally, whether you're talking about, you know, goalkeepers making a save with their top hand or lower hand, you know, again, I was fortunate, like back, you know, in the MLS, you know, I spent time in Kansas City and, you know, even Tony Miola. I mean, Tony was just so strong with his upper body. You know, he could get away with, you know, whether it was just making lower hand saves or just, you know, not really diving for balls. I mean, so it's, yeah, I mean, I kind of said it earlier, like, you know, there's, I think, you know, even, you know, for all of us, I mean, like we have maybe like some unorthodox tendencies, but if it works, you know, it's
you can't bite your tongue and let them work. Yeah. George, you had something.
And I love your insight, Dave. And, you know, thanks again for joining us today.
Absolutely.
But it's, you know, I've shared this, I believe, a couple of times, but it was years ago, but I just thought it was so insightful. But they were interviewing Gigi Buffon, and Gigi was talking about, you know, what would be your advice to young aspiring athletes that are looking to get into goalkeeping? And he was just like, choose another position. And I just found that really, you know, it made me chuckle and laugh, because here's a legend saying it. And his reasoning was, is that, you know, there's so much more responsibilities upon the goalkeepers, you know, in regards to making those entry passes or those intermediate clip balls, you know, behind the, you know, the first line of pressure, and, you know, again, initiating the attack, you know, by a side volley or, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, but it's taken away from what you just said to me, which is so powerful. It all starts with the hands. And that's what really defined goalkeepers earlier on. And he was just saying, you know, before, you know, if you were a specialist with your hands and you were, and obviously had the athleticism, I mean, you could be a really special goalkeeper, but that's no longer the case. So I guess my question to you is, you know, are you kind of along that same line? Are you seeing it at the MLS level? Is that, do you think the more responsibility upon the goalkeeper is kind of deterring what you believe in as well, which it does start with the hands?
No, I mean, I think it's now just a culmination of all of it. You know, so it's interesting. I spoke to JT the other day and just kind of caught up with him, like with his experience. And again, small world. I mean, I played for John Kerr Jr. Back for the Worcester Wildfire. You know, I was loaned out, you know, with the World Cup with Jürgen Sommer. And so I spent 6 weeks and, you know, so again, it's a small world, and I feel, you know, kind of, it's a little surreal that, you know, JT's now playing for John at Duke. And, you know, so I think even for JT, it was a little bit of a transition for what the expectations and, you know, cause again, like even with what I was saying, like with the curriculum that I'm working on, you know, again, in our, you know, for the, you know, our field players, I mean, one of the big things is like the build out, you know, so being able to keep possession. But the conversation, and to answer your question, George, it's like, it's a fine line, you know, it's a fine line. And again, the goalkeepers, whether it, you know, and look, again, it's not, this is nothing new. You know, Rene Higuita back in the 90s, you know, kind of, and even before him, I mean, Hugo Locatelli in Argentina. You know, so you'd have some goalkeepers, you'd have some goalkeepers that were maybe more a little adventurous, and, you know, but, again, like growing up in South Florida, you know, my club coach, Lenny Taylor, you know, we would build out, you know, I would play with my feet a lot of times, you know, so whether, you know, again, being the first line of attack and, you know, playing, you know, counterattacks with my arm or, you know, drop kicks. I mean, it was, again, for me, this is nothing new. So the way I've presented it, even to our academy goalkeepers, and again, this is where, you know, there's, you know, correlation between what, you know, the principles are for the first team with what Caleb does, and those goalkeepers. And again, small world, like Tim Hanley is the first team goalkeeper coach, you know, who again, I had in San Jose back in 99. You know, and again, I would say that there's maybe some tendencies where I'm a little bit more old fashioned, you know, but with that said, and even like, you know, as a goalkeeper, I mean, I was very aggressive, whether it was, you know, coming, you know, for crosses or through balls, or again, even just with counterattacks, you know, I said, look, guys, you know, when we talk about risk versus reward, there's sometimes we're going to have to take chances, you know, but my exception and where I struggle with it, you know, like even with our coaches is like, look, as much as we want to build out and, you know, sometimes it's self-inflicted, the goals and the goal scoring opportunities that we give other, you know, the opposition, because, you know, again, they're the solution sometimes is just kicking it over, you know, if you're under pressure, you know, and again, I think that's where, you know, the Kaler novices of the world. And you know, again, I think even for Zach Steffen, he's really, you know, raised his level with, you know, his ability to play with his feet. But, you know, again, for me, it's to answer your question, it's a fine line. And again, it's situational.
Yeah.
Like, what were you going to throw in?
Yeah, just briefly. And I think it surmises maybe some of the things we're talking about. And this resonated with me. And it was something that Paul Rogers had said. I believe the comment was along the lines of, listen, our goalkeepers need to be good with their feet. They need to be better with their feet. They need to make decisions with their feet, but our livelihood is their hands.
Yeah.
And if they can't catch a ball, if they can't save a ball, it doesn't matter how good you are with your feet. And I think that pretty much surmises them. I mean, yeah, there's a balance, but if you can't catch a ball,
I mean, look, it's funny, Dave. And look, if, I mean, I know this is being recorded and I mean, I would say it if all three of my U17 goalkeepers were sitting here right now, but it was kind of funny. Like even with just Halloween, you know, being a couple of weeks ago, I was joking with our coaches that, you know, if I was Dr. Frankenstein, I would like to be able to put together all three of, you know, our U17 goalkeepers and we would have a world beater. We've got one, we have one that's exceptional with his feet, but he's not the greatest with defending the goal. We have another one that's just a gamer, full of personality and substance. And then we've got one that's maybe not, you know, he's a great shot stopper. I mean, the kid will, you know, put his face in front of, you know, the ball from, you know, so again, he's fearless. You know, so again, if we could combine all three of them, you know, but again, that's my job is to try to help each one of them with, you know, the things that they need to get better on. And, but yeah, it's very interesting.
It's David, you know, David Winner's Frankenkeeper.
But if you've been involved in the game as long as we have and been a goalkeeper coach, how many times have you had that situation? Where I could really just kind of morph you guys all together. So.
Well, your strength is this, your strength is that. Yeah. David, I'm curious with, especially with younger goalkeepers, I mean, the position of goalkeeper is just, you just generally tend to think of mistakes. And especially now as we're talking about, you know, developing play and building play. And I just remember Zach Steffen with one game, I forget where it was, which game it was, but he just like seemed like he's playing the ball out under a ridiculous amount of pressure. He's still trying to play it out of the back, but it was a friendly, didn't matter. So, yeah. Okay, you know what? We made a couple of mistakes, but we're okay with it. How do you work with your developing keepers in terms of try something, even though it might go wrong, you might learn from it? How do you emphasize that or reinforce that with them?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's interesting. So, like, again, one of the buckets in, you know, the curriculum, and look, I stress it, you know, all the time with all of them, because I don't think it's ever too early to plant that seed. Like, you know, the mental part is, in my humble opinion, one of the most important things that you'll, you know, because again, whether it's at the highest level or even at the academy level, the collegiate level, there's not a lot of things that separate, you know, goalkeepers. You know, they should be able to catch, they should be able to somewhat play with their feet, they should be able to catch a cross, you know, all the things that we talk about, you know, for a goalkeeper, you know, whether it's just, you know, the four pillars or, you know, so again, the one that really stands out in the four pillars is just the mental part, you know, how we deal with things when they don't go our way. And again, the one thing, and, you know, is demanding as I am of them, I'm also, you know, again, even the coaches kind of laugh that, you know, I'm also very forgiving. You know, I think, you know, the most important thing for them, and it's almost like a forward, you know, you have to have confidence. You have to have confidence. And, you know, so again, it's like, even with younger players, like you see it all the time, like where, you know, they'll play the game and, you know, you might have a coach that, you know, yells or, you know, so they're not only, you know, they're playing the game, but 9 out of 10 times they're looking at you, you know, and it's like, hey, focus on the game, focus on what you're doing and believe, you know, whether you're building out or, you know, you're, you know, making saves. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, specifically though, you know, you know, aside from any, you know, part of the training that I do with them, you know, it's really when they're integrated into the team. And this is something that I really took away. I was fortunate, a couple summers ago to go, and this is prior, I was still at Ohio Premier, but I went to Germany with all the MLS Academy coaches and, you know, we spent time with, you know, their staff and, their goalkeeping director. And, you know, again, they have this, you know, these principles, you know, WASIC, and, you know, it's an acronym that, you know, but one of the parts, you know, for the I is integration, you know, so I generally try to do the most work and help them when they're integrated in the teams and they're doing the rondos. So whether it's, you know, a 4-versus-2 rondo or, you know, a 3v3+3, and 9 out of 10 times, you know, they're the target players, you know, so it's very, you know, appropriate. It's very, you know, positional for them. And so that's really where I try to focus the most with helping them there. Again, some of the younger goalkeepers, in the communication and organization piece. And it's funny, like I look back when I was younger, I didn't know what to say, you know? So, you know, I had a goalkeeper coach that would, you know, whether behind the goal or, you know, the top of the 18, he would, you know, and I know it's kind of discouraged, but he would almost like joystick me into like what to say and what to do. And, you know, once, you know, the imaginary light bulb went in my head, you know, that it was a lot easier. So again, I had, you know, one of our U14 goalkeepers who really he's a 2008. So he's even playing up a year. It was so funny and God love him. I mean, he like, you know, sent me an email, which I'm sure his parents helped him with. you know, but I mean, he took the initiative to say, you know, hey coach, what do I say? You know? And I said, perfect. You know, this is a good start. And we have
a teachable moment.
Yes. No, absolutely. You know, so yes. It was funny. Like even last year we had, we have a Russian kid that, you know, his dad's one of the coaches for Ohio State for the fencing program. And he didn't speak English, you know? So when he got here, he's like, coach, can you write me a cheat sheet of what I need to say? So I'm like, Stas, no problem. So I wrote, you know, on a piece of paper, just, you know, push up, you know, keeper, you know, slide left, slide right. I mean, I was having shades of, you know, before MLS, I almost signed in Colombia, South America for Mi and Adios. And even though I grew up in South Florida, I don't know what I was thinking. I took German in high school. I took French in college. I probably should have taken Spanish, you know, but again, I didn't speak Spanish when I was down there in Colombia, but very quickly, you know, whether it was, you know, arquero or, you know, izquierda, derecha, you know, it was like, I just had 4 things, you know, whether it was, you know, right, left, you know, keeper, away. That was, you know, so that's basically what I did for Stas. And like now, I mean, the kid, you can't shut him up. You know, he never mind learning English, but like he's gotten to be really good with manipulating the defense in front of him. And so, yeah.
Cool. Very good. Good. George, what do you think?
Just going to kind of piggyback off of what David's saying, because, you know, how many times, you know, have I instructed a, United Soccer course, you know, whether it's the GK level 1 or 2, you know, one of the lectures that we offer is the communication lecture. And we constantly hit, you know, upon, you know, a lot of the problems that youth goalkeepers have is because they just don't know what to say.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, being somebody that grew up in a ethnic family, you know, going to games, watching, observing, like you said, you know, you brought up Jan Van Beveren. I was a big Jan fan when he was playing with Fort Lauderdale, you know, the Flying Dutchman. But at the same time, you know, it's interesting that, you know, younger kids today, even with more access to soccer being on television, you know, there's also a lot more distractions. So how many of them are really paying attention to what the goalkeeper movements are or to what the goalkeepers are actually saying, you know? Well, so again, it's, you know, it's kind of a product of our environment and our society as well.
And I think one of the things, though, to kind of like put together what you've said, what David said, I think that there's a lot of, you know, coaches with good intentions, and we all know the road to hell is paved with good intentions. We'll tell goalkeepers what to do, what to say, things like that. And goalkeepers now grow up being told what to do, and they lack that kind of the thing you were talking about, David, you know, being able to have that conversation in of their own initiative rather than just saying, okay, I said this because the coach told me to say this. I don't know why I'm saying it or whatever, but I think allowing kids to develop that initiative and to try those things is important. Let them try and say things. And then, okay, if I said it wrong, I'll tell you, but go ahead and try it. Try and do that. Yeah. We had a kid from Woodinville, Washington at Oregon that was a great frame, great built for goal, great technically, but she was like a church mouse. She was so quiet. And that was probably one of the hardest things I've had to coach, was I had to change your personality on the field.
Yeah.
No, you will talk to people. You will tell them. They want you to tell them what to do. And, oh, okay. You know, say, yeah, yeah. Don't say it like that. Yeah, okay. And, you know, I said, off the field, man, don't change a thing. But on the field, you have, this is part of your job. And that was one of the most difficult things that I've ever coached, was trying to change that.
Yeah, no, that's, it's interesting. And again, I think that's, you know, even when you're trying to identify younger goalkeepers, it's, you know, and again, this is where, you know, I had this conversation just the other day. It was funny. I was talking with Michael Bohanek, who's at Pitt, and, you know, one of the biggest things for me is just the goalkeeper's personality. You know, I mean, I've even included that, you know, and, you know, again, whether it's, you know, first team attributes or what we're looking, you know, it's, you have to have personality, you know, you have to be, no, and it's like, even with one of our U15 goalkeepers, you know, he's kind of, I mean, in a, he's an only child, you know, his dad is also a goalkeeper coach. You know, so, you know, he's just wired a little differently than, you know, the rest of the group. You know, and that was even the conversation I had with him, that like, because again, when you're, never mind communicating and you're trying to organize, and it's come up even with, you know, some of our, you know, U17s and, you know, U19, one of our U19 goalkeepers who's newer, there has to be trust. There has to be a rapport with the players, you know? So, you know, how I even presented it to one of my goalkeepers was like, look, I don't know Ederson personally, but, you know, 'cause again, that's, he idolizes Ederson, and, you know, again, and I think it's, yeah, it's great that, you know, goalkeepers like that are Allison. And, you know, again, I would say that they're more, you know, of the modern goalkeeper. But I just said, I said, you know, if you went into the locker room, he's probably cracking jokes. He's probably larger than life, you know? So again, I think, you know, outside of all the tangibles, like, you know, I guess this would fall under like an intangible of just like personality and substance. And, you know, because again, like when you're, you know, if you're trying to direct the defenders in front of you and you really, there's no rapport, it's challenging, you know? So, you know, so again, I just kind of said, hey, I'm just going to ask you to try this, but, you know, whether it's before training, just integrate yourself a little bit more, or, you know, do you know a joke? I mean, he didn't even know a joke. So I was just like, you know, why couldn't the bicycle stand, you know, because it was too tired, you know? And he kind of like, yeah, that's no, I think it's, you know, in my experience, you know, the more successful goalkeepers are ones that really, you know, have a lot of personality.
Lotto, what do you got? Lotto, what are you doing?
Yeah, just, I mean, all this resonates, and it's sometimes I don't even want to talk in these podcasts. I just, as much as I like to talk, I want to just sit back and listen and absorb, because it's really refreshing to hear all the different insights. But it's also, it resonates because it's what I'm seeing, and I've been seeing it at a lot of levels as I've come, I took it some time out from the game, and I've come back for over the last, it's like 10 years now. And, you know, I wonder if it's just me, and the more I've reached back out to colleagues, I realize it's not just me. And some of this is the communication side. I go, when did goalkeepers stop communicating? And I don't mean talking, which is just yelling stuff all the time, because we've seen that, and that's the one extreme. But to the point now, we're in training where we're doing a crossing exercise or balls played above the head, and there's no instinctual response to just call for the ball. And you don't have to scream keeper, but keeper or keep, or, you know, whatever it is. And just having to get 16, 17, 18 year old kids to instill that in them at that age is bizarre to me, first of all. Yeah. And then going back into, you know, asking some of them, you know, what they use for a command within their teams, like their, what are their coaches asked for them on a ball that gets played into the box? You're not going to come take it and call for it. What's your command? And they all look at me, you know, and there's 10 goalkeepers, and one kid goes, well, sometimes I say clear, and really none of them had a response. So, you know, I asked it in the coaches session, and they almost overwhelmingly didn't have a response to what they instruct their goalkeepers to use. Or they're like, so they don't have a communication hierarchy within their, within their resume or within their repertoire of how they want their players to communicate. So, you know, I'm sure we're not the only ones that are lacking it within our club. I'm sure other clubs see it, but more evolved clubs than maybe you have a dialogue, but it's interesting to me that's what we're seeing with some goalkeepers. It's gone the opposite way where they don't communicate.
I think the biggest thing in it, like, hit me like a ton of bricks last year. And look, I mean, I think it's a generational thing. And I mean, look, like I said, even before the podcast, I mean, I recognize all of your names. Like, you guys were, you know, again, whether like through Soccer Plus, and again, I was very fortunate, you know, my senior high school and for a few years in the summers, you know, working Soccer Plus, you know, worked the camp with, you know, G. Guerrieri. You know, I used to also work, you know, number one, you know, for Dr. Macnick. So, you know, again, even it's interesting to just see how goalkeeping has evolved over the years. And, you know, like even for me as a coach now, it's humbling, because again, I would categorize myself a little bit, maybe, more old fashioned. I said it earlier. You know, so whether it's the challenges of like technology, just, you know, the way the game has changed, the way the goalkeeper plays. But where I was going with all this is that, you know, last year we were on a trip, we were in Houston for, the Rayados tournament. And, you know, I was with, Matunda Kwasele, our U14 coach, and we're, you know, at a team meal, and all of the players, they don't, even without their iPhones or whatever, you know, iPads, I mean, they really don't talk to each other, you know? So to your point, you know, whether it's a goalkeeper or players, like it's, I just think with technology and just like, you know, it's just not the same. Like we would be on the bus and all the players, you know, are on their iPhones or they're on their computers. And, you know, so it's, you know, that's something, yeah, I think that definitely, it's a trend. And, you know, I don't know what the answer is, but yeah, even for, you know, Kelvin Jones, our academy director now, like, again, with COVID, we haven't stayed in hotels, like, even like with, you know, tomorrow we play Vardar. I mean, all the away trips, I mean, it's in one day. We'll leave early in the morning and come back late at night. But even last year, like we would have restrictions, like even it got to the point where, you know, at bed check, we would take all the players' cell phones, you know, give it back to them at the, you know, in the morning, you know, so it kind of forces them to interact with each other.
Yeah, I think that's good. George, I'll get a sec, but I think this is also, and again, obviously that's kind of on the goalkeeping end of it, the kids end of it. I think with what I've seen in a lot, and I talk about this in a class I teach, but it's the overcoaching tends to eliminate a lot of this communication. And I talk about, I was at a UNCG, played Duke in basketball. And so I'm sitting underneath the UNCG basket, and you can hear the Duke players talking all the time, constantly. And the UNCG players started watching and listening to the Duke players talk. And it was so intimidated, and teams that can win with communication. And if we overcoached our players, or if we do the talking for them, they don't develop that habit. And I think, you know, again, a lot of it is generational. I'm not trying to say that it's all off us, the coaches, but I think as coaches, sometimes we tend to want to make decisions for our kids and not allow them that chance to have to communicate or force the creativity to do that, to be responsible for their communication.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting. And again, like sometimes as coaches, like we have epiphanies and, you know, again, like in our U14 coach, Mutunda, his big thing and his baby, like, you know, again, with COVID, we all like did these projects and, you know, again, I specifically did mine on the build out, and the build up and, you know, so really, you know, the goalkeeper in possession, you know, so, but Matunda, like his big thing is perception, you know? So whether, you know, he talks about global space, local space, impact space. So again, like with what you're saying, Bill, and I think it's, yeah, I mean, it kind of was an epiphany for me, you know, cause I see the game very clearly in a lot of instances. And it wasn't until I, you know, and again, I think even just in the time that I've been with the academy, you know, I'm a little less vocal because again, I think it's like what you're saying. It's like, it's very, very important that they are able to, you know, find solutions. You know, so, but again, where I've changed my perspective a little bit is I really try hard to see what they are seeing, you know, whether it's playing out, you know, with their feet or, you know, situations in the goal. And that's kind of, and again, Evan Foos, our U15 coach, he's a master at that. He's a master at like just kind of probing players and being able to kind of, you know, get the answer that he wants, you know, but also most importantly, like, you know, for the players to kind of understand what, you know, whether it's a principle or, you know, it's a part of the game that, so again, not to ramble on here, but, you know, again, so that's where I've kind of changed my, you know, vantage point a little bit where, you know, I really try to see from the goalkeeper's perspective and then hear from them. And it's like, okay, that makes sense, but, you know, have you considered this, you know? And they're like, oh yeah, I didn't even think of that, you know? So as our U17 coach, he's Laurent Courtois, he's French, and he loves to say, oh, that's really rich, you know, it's a really rich conversation.
No, I was just gonna say, those are great conversations.
You know, never mind like as a coach, but it, like personally, it's just like, you know, to have them kind of, you know, again, I call it, there's an imaginary light bulb above all their heads, and, you know, until it goes off, I mean, then they're able to consistently, you know, and hopefully make better decisions, and just, they're more effective, you know, because as we all know, I mean, the goalkeeping position, how I explain it to them, whether it's in training or, you know, especially in the games, you know, I mean, we're judged and we're under a microscope, you know, so our mistakes are very glaring. You know, so it's very interesting.
Yeah. George, I know you've been sitting on something, man. Go ahead.
That's all right. I mean, David, you mentioned that when you were going through your development, that at one point in time, your goalkeeper coach had to joystick you and kind of teach you and mold you a little bit. And I get it, man. And another thing that I really love that you mentioned was the fact that, you know, as much as we embrace the goalkeeper training environment, it's really essential for us to integrate with the team and obviously be able to observe and really watch and try to gain the goalkeeper's perspective. So when you are observing and watching and, you know, considering you openly stated you were joysticked in many ways from the communication aspect, what are you doing in regards to educating or developing your goalkeepers in that area? Because it's hard. It's hard to just train that level of communication when you don't know what to say.
Yeah, I especially with our younger goalkeepers, and again, I know how intimidating it is. And I generally, and again, I took this from Peter Meller, like where even as a goalkeeper coach, you know, compared to a coach, like where you're coaching, you know, outside to in and then inside to out. Like, so I generally try not to stand behind the goal with the younger goalkeepers because I know it can be very off-putting. So I generally try to stand like more off to the side, like again, whether it's, you know, at the top of the 18-yard box or, and I'll just give, you know, just give them gentle reminders, you know, like, hey, what could you have said there? You know, can you tell them to slide over? Again, and with the younger ones right now, it's keeping it very simple, you know. You know, as they get older, then, you know, whether it's, you know, telling defenders to force them outside or inside if there's, you know, cover and, you know, but for the younger ones, it's just, and look, I even tell them, like, I don't even care if it's wrong, you know, but just get in the habit. And the good thing, you know, especially for the one that, you know, even reached out to me a few weeks ago, he's trying, you know, and I'd even said, like, as simple as like, you know, in a rondo, you play a ball, tell that player if he's got time, if there's a man on. And then if there's a man on, you have to be an option to play back to. And so the good thing is, like, he's, you know, he'll say time, he'll say man on, you know, again, if he wants the ball, he'll call for it. If he doesn't, you know, he'll call away. So, you know, he's trying, you know, and that's really all I ask the goalkeepers too, is like, you know, just always give the best, you know, honest effort that you can give.
Good. I like what you're saying earlier, because I think, I forget if somebody here, one of these, we're talking about, you know, I stole this from somebody, I think, but I'm no longer a goalkeeper coach. I'm a goalkeeper whisperer, because I'm standing next to him and having those kind of conversations. Was that G?
That was G.
Okay, I stole it from G. So there, I steal from good people. G checks in the mail. But yeah, those are the kind of conversations that are, from my standpoint, are very enjoyable. And then I've heard back from kids that I've had those with, and they thought those were the best parts of training, because it's unique to them. It's unique to the moment, and it really will stick with them. And I think that's great that you can do that, have those kind of conversations with the kids.
Yeah.
As your kids coming through now, as you see these kids developing through, is there any area that you see as a strength, but also as a weakness? We've talked a little bit about the communication, but are there other maybe more technical things that you think of in the kids as they come through now that maybe they've gotten better at, or maybe that they need, do you see something that's a need for emphasis?
No, that's interesting, because, and I can only go from my experience and what I do. But again, I'll kind of probe them, because, like, even, you know, since we've been back in August, I mean, I spend a great deal of time, you know, even working on, you know, crosses, you know, whether it's opposed or unopposed. I mean, generally it's unopposed, but, like, even if there's some semblance, you know, whether it's another goalkeeper just, you know, standing in the 6-yard box. Mm-hmm. And I even ask him, like, cause one thing that I've noticed, like, you know, whether it's, you know, EPL games or watching, you know, games at the highest level, you don't see a lot of goalkeepers really coming to claim crosses anymore. You know, so again, when we talk about goalkeepers being the first attacker, how can we be the first attacker if we never have the ball, you know? And I think that there's so many opportunities. So again, where I've put a lot of emphasis and, you know, spent a lot of time, and it's interesting too, because at one point, I want to say it was a few weeks ago, I finally brought each age group in, because again, I was noticing in games that they weren't ever coming for anything, you know? So I just said, look, we can train until the cows come home, you know, and working on this, but and until you guys start trying this in games, we're going to scrap this, because it's a waste of time, you know? Mm-hmm. So again, the positive, like, in the last couple of weeks, you know, it was actually awesome last week. You know, our U14 goalkeeper not only came 12 yards off his line, they came a, you know, he claimed a corner kick, but, you know, again, we also, you know, with the modern trends, because this is one thing I do like is the side volley. You know, he, you know, even though that our number 9, who's, you know, fast as grease lightning, it was a 2-1. He played a side volley over the top, and we almost scored off of it, you know? So I'm like, see, there you go. Look, you know, so again, unless they start seeing the fruits of what we're working on. And that's how I present it to them. Like, look, guys, we, you know, whether it's, you know, 1v1s or just, you know, certain areas of shot stopping, it's like, look, until you guys embrace this and you're seeing the results, then it's a waste of time.
Yeah. I think when I trained, I've always told kids, and sometimes they didn't understand it, but I said, I'd rather see errors of commission than errors of omission. And I'd rather see you try something in training, because if you do it in training and it's screwing up all the time, then you're not going to do it in a game. But if you never try it, you never know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Lotto, you had something.
Yeah. Two things on that. And it's, you know, one is the going back to, you talked about unopposed versus opposed with, you know, with the crossing. And it was interesting. I had in a session that I was doing last week, I was given a U15 group of boys with their goalkeepers. And really the session was about trying to get these coaches to understand a little bit better. And they were really receptive to finding ways to integrate their goalkeeper. They're the only coach. They don't have an assistant. They don't have a goalkeeper coach, and just say, be creative in terms of where you put your goalkeepers or how you use your goalkeepers and integrate them into your session. And I know a lot of them use, especially now in COVID, sort of passing patterns, be them complex or where they have to make decisions or not. And, you know, I use them with our team, but, you know, we try to make them simple, too complex. And the first round of the exercise was everything was played out from the goalkeeper's feet and played into the goalkeeper's feet. And then it evolved to balls played into the goalkeeper's hand from say a number nine or from a forward. And the idea was to hit it within the frame of the goalkeeper. So they only had to take one step or it was a simple save. And one of the coaches, you know, asked me, he says, well, in a lot of my coaching courses, they always talk about making it specific. And that doesn't seem very specific. And I said, well, it depends. Remember, this is a session for goalkeepers. And the specific piece to this is train your goalkeepers, integrate your goalkeepers. And in this moment was, we're essentially warming goalkeepers up. And if we're warming goalkeepers up, do we want them to go into the rest of the session confident or not confident? And that light bulb sort of went on over his head. So like from that standpoint, it was like, hey, okay, I get it. And it just was really good to see them start to think a little bit more. You know, you can see they haven't had a lot of, you know, goalkeeping sessions. So my question is, in terms of opposed and unopposed, just general thoughts, you know, how you feel about stuff like that.
We won't ask our U15 coach because he generally doesn't like opposed but I think it really goes back to just like there's a time and a place. I would say more and look, when we talk about, you know, COVID and the restrictions, you know, we're not allowed to cross contaminate the age groups. Or last year, you know, with the group of goalkeepers, you know, I have the U14s and U15s, you know, training together. I'd have the U17s and U19s training together. So for planning purposes and just training sessions, like I was able to be more creative, where this year, you know, I might have them, you know, one day a week for only like 30 minute sessions. And then, you know, a couple sessions, like I'll have a longer one, you know, so a lot of what I've done, like in the goalkeeping parts of the sessions, it's, you know, really a lot of it, you know, especially with crosses, it's unopposed. You know, again, this week we spent a lot of time, you know, being courageous and brave. So whether it was 1v1 situations or, I like to call them the Club Bruges sessions, 'cause I think they do a lot of really good stuff with their goalkeepers. But, again, from tight spaces where they have to make decisions, like, can I go attack the ball? You know, if it's a negative touch, you know, then get ready for the shot or, so yeah, I mean, there's times that, you know, we'll do opposed, but then there's other times that it's unopposed. But I think the most important thing is when they are integrated in the team, that's, you know, and look, and it's, I mean, we could probably have a whole other, you know, call on just, you know, where I think, you know, with, you know, the training piece too, it's, I think the most difficult thing is to recreate game-like situations. You know, I've had, you know, many conversations with Pat Onstead about this too, where, you know, so never mind within goalkeeper training, how can you create, you know, never mind the intensity, but just, you know, to be able to recreate game-like situations. I think even in training, you know, it's very difficult to replicate, you know, the game. So yeah, I mean, that I think that would be the easiest answer for that one.
The other piece to that, David, that resonated, you talked, and maybe the first thing that jumped at me was you talking to your goalkeepers about coming for crosses. Like, you know, you're not going to know if you can get across it until you start coming for crosses. And I'm seeing this with, and we may have had this discussion with Danny Gaspar or maybe somebody else, and I'm seeing this as well. And I'll do this within sessions, is have our goalkeepers, like, I want you to try and catch everything. Let's find the range of what you can and what you can't catch and challenge yourself to the point where, you know, kids are trying to deflect. I won't say they're trying to deflect everything, but they're okay with knocking a ball down or deflecting it. And I made this point to some coaches as well, because this is still fresh in my brain. I say, well, if you're doing some sessions, tell your goalkeepers it's okay to make a mistake. Try to catch a ball. Yeah. And if you find that there's certain balls you now can't catch, that's great. But you'll never know that you can or can't catch a ball until you try to catch as much as possible.
Well, I think, and I'm just going to be honest, and I'm sure that there would be a lot of goalkeeper coaches that would be mortified to hear me say this, but I don't work on punching. I mean, so even when we do the crossing sessions, it's try to catch everything. You know, again, an emergency, you know, 100%, you know, use, you know, you can box, you can punch, you know, but again, it's like, even with the modern trends, I don't spend sessions working on, you know, foot saves or, you know, blocking. Again, I think it's a byproduct of trying to do the right thing. And at the last second, if you decide whether it's in traffic or you can't get a clean catch on it, then you punch it away, you know? Yeah. So again, like even with, and look, this is the challenge. Like, I think even, you know, the biggest difference from when I was at OP to now, you know, being in the academy, and even with COVID, I mean, the good thing is I have the luxury of time. You know, a lot of club coaches, they're lucky if they even see their goalkeepers once a week, you know? So they, and look, a lot of, you know, and I only have 10 goalkeepers. You know, my buddy who's over at OP, I mean, he told me 2 weeks ago, he had 36 goalkeepers at a session, you know? So, so never mind what you really want to focus and pick your battles on, you know, for that week. You know, but yeah, I just like with, even when we do like today, we'll have, you know, a session that's getting ready for Vardar this weekend. You know, we'll spend a good time, you know, a good part of that just working on crosses, but I also, you know, we'll add, you know, okay, whether it's switching the point of attack or putting the ball down and playing with your feet. So I try to be very creative, even within my sessions.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. You know, I would tell kids, like, look, if you can catch a ball at 6 yards, go to 7. If you can catch a ball at 7, go to 8. If you go to 9 and you can't catch it, well, then go back to 8.
Yeah.
But until you've gone there, you don't know. George, I thought you were going to, did you have something? Yeah.
Well, no, I was just going to share an experience too, but I want to go back to David in 1 second. But I had a goalkeeper coach in college, and we trained unopposed crosses on numerous occasions. And to be very frank with you, I thought it was one of the most effective things, because the reality is, you know, it gave me a sense of confidence that I could get to anything, because, you know, a big part of reading the flight of the ball is seeing it over and over and over, and then training my starting position, and then training my footwork and the ability to take off and obviously intercept. So, you know, I owe a lot of my, you know, crossing development to Lotto. You know, we did that. We spent in swingers, out swingers, and to be honest with you, it was creating. Just again, one of the most important jobs for a goalkeeper coach is building confidence. And I became very confident. And to me, that was my experience with just, again, training. And again, obviously we get to the point where we're integrated and we're going to see pressure, but the reality is, even in those moments of when you're integrated and you're seeing crosses, my focus was still on the ball. So it was all about me wanting to intercept that ball rather than being distracted by whatever obstacle there was. So again, that to me is why I feel starting winning unimposed crosses is so essential.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, you mentioned on a couple of occasions that, you know, working with Pat Onstad, and obviously, you know, goalkeeper legend, you know, won, I believe, multiple MLS championships. How is it for you to have somebody, obviously with his stature and obviously being a goalkeeper himself, do you guys get to collaborate a bit? Does he just say, hey, I know you shared that. He's like, hey, listen, this is your baby. But it must be good to have a sounding board.
Yeah, no, it's, and look, I mean, outside of just, you know, his accomplishments off the field, I mean, Pat is just, he's such a great human being. You know, so, you know, now with his role as the technical director, you know, so yeah, Pat is, you know, he's been invaluable, just whether it's feedback or, but yeah, no, it's been fantastic to be able to, you know, work with him and, you know, but again, with COVID, it's very challenging, you know, 'cause even last year and just like traditionally, you know, whether it's, you know, watching first team or, you know, but again, with all the COVID restrictions and just, they have, you know, daily testing and just even with, you know, all of our protocols in the academy, it hasn't been as much, but like, even, you know, outside of Pat, you know, Tim Hanley has been incredible, as a sounding board. And, you know, again, I'll talk to him periodically. So yeah, it's funny because like, even, how I presented it, you know, to our goalkeepers, it's like, you know, once you're part of the goalkeeping union, it's for life, you know, and I learned that a long time ago from, you know, from Peter Meller. And it's like, sometimes I have a little Peter sitting on my shoulder and just like, be a pro, you know, you could maybe not feel well, or, you know, you might, you know, whatever, you know, so that's just something that's always stuck with me. And, you know, even with Wolfgang Sunholz, it was like, just, you know, never mind be a pro, but just be a good, you know, be a good person. You know, I think, you know, so I, you know, again, we talk about intangibles. It's like, I have to some, you know, especially with the younger ones, remind them about humility and, you know, but no, it always goes back to the goalkeeper union.
Yeah. Yeah. You remember for life, George.
No, I just wanted to kind of continue with that. And the reason why, because I, you know, had a similar situation where I was, you know, with the Hartford Athletic, and, you know, Jimmy Nielsen was the head coach, and Jimmy obviously being a legend in Denmark, but also, you know, with Sporting.
The white Puma.
You know, there you go. The Puma, man. Absolutely. And, you know, it was really funny because he came up to me after like my first week and was just like, "Hey, Georgie, I watched you for about 2 days, you know, just from a distance, never really intervened. But he just let me do my thing. And he just said, I knew my goalkeepers were in really good hands." So it's, again, you know, validation, but it was just great because the reality is it's just that unity, that GK union, because we're, you know, even now I still try to reach out to him and interact with him, because he's, like you said, you know, Pat's a great human being. Yeah. Jimmy Nielsen, top notch, man.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Great. David, we're sneaking over an hour, and it's flown by. It's been flying by. This has been a great conversation. We appreciate your time, because we know you've got training sessions coming up. So congratulations, man. I don't have a training session coming up, man. I wish you did. but we appreciate your time.
No, absolutely. And again, I could talk all afternoon, and I thoroughly.
You would like that.
this is the fun part about it. You know, so I again, all of you, thank you for having me on.
All righty.
Thank you, David. Thank you very much.
Thanks, cool. David.
All right.
We hope you enjoyed that episode at the Goalkeeper Roundtable. If you'd like to reach out with suggestions, comments, or questions, all of our email addresses are available in the show description. If you like the show, we'd love for you to subscribe to it, but also share it in social media platforms or with any other goalkeeper or coach who may find value in it. We hope you turn in to the next Goalkeeper Roundtable.